Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to stand before you. It's good to be back here. I was sad to miss Wednesday night. If you can't tell by my voice, I was a little sick, but I promise it doesn't sound like it, but I am better. I don't plan on getting anybody else sick. So, but prayers that my voice holds out for the rest of the day and tonight too. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And as we do, let's see. Brother Kyle, please do a word of prayer. Amen. If you would, open up your Bibles to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. This morning for a little bit, we're going to look at your resurrection and your eternal future, where you're going to spend eternity. And we're going to start here in John chapter 5. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I wanted to read this verse first because of the song that was just sang by the ladies, once for all. Understand, Jesus Christ died on the cross once for all mankind to be saved. He does not want you to go into condemnation. He wants you to pass from death unto life. But understand, there will come a time when life is over, that there will be millions and billions and probably an innumerable number of individuals who have rejected God that will spend their life facing the condemnation of the lake of fire forever. Jump down to John chapter 5, verse 29. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Understand, there will come a time that if you reject Jesus Christ, you will suffer this damnation, this condemnation, the lake that burns with fire and brimstone forever and ever. We're going to look at that in a little bit, but first, turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, it's been talked about this morning a couple times about the hope of Jesus Christ. Understand, if you are saved, you can have hope that you will not face this condemnation. You will not face this death. You will have life eternal. And how can we know that? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and our faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, who he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are in Christ at his coming. Understand that the salvation, the life that Jesus Christ brings, it is not talking just about life physically on this earth. It is a life to come in eternity. You do not have to worry about death. Now, you might still die a physical death. That is not what this verse is talking about. This is talking about a spiritual death, when you are separated from God forever. Those of you that are saved in here right now, you never have to fear that death. Why? Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Because if he wouldn't have risen from the dead, we have no hope. Because if God could have overcome death, how could we? But you go read the word of God. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He came up back to life. He walked on this earth and he went up to heaven for eternity. That is how I know I have hope. And that hope is expected. And I know what will happen at the end of my life is I will see my Savior and I will live with him forever. Do you have that hope in your life this morning? If you don't, Jesus Christ is still saving souls. If he wasn't, we wouldn't be on this earth right now. We'd be gone. So if Jesus Christ, understand, if I'm still on this earth, the saved have not been taken out of here. The rapture has not happened. Jesus Christ is still saving souls. You can be saved today, and you can have this hope. If you don't know, turn to Jesus Christ, because this is the alternative. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to look here. We're going to look at the alternative for a little bit here. Understand, I cannot explain it enough. I cannot tell you about it enough. I cannot make it make sense enough about how bad the lake of fire is going to be. I, in my brain, in our brains, we cannot physically or mentally comprehend how bad it is going to be. We have nothing that compares to it. I have been in pain in my life. I have been, you know, hurt. I've been burned before in my life. I have no idea what it's going to be like in that lake of fire and torments forever. You might think, well, I can handle it. I'm pretty tough. We're going to read some verses here in just a little bit. It is better that you lose a limb. You pluck out an eye. Just think about that for a second. How painful is it to lose a limb? How bad is it to hurt your eye? It's better to lose those than to go to hell. And that's just hell. Lake of fire is so much worse than hell. Matthew 25, verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Understand, if you reject God, you will go to everlasting punishment. I personally, I don't enjoy punishment. I don't like being in pain. Lost friend, if you reject God one more time, you might be destined for eternity in that punishment forever. Turn to Revelation 21. I wanted to read that verse to, we're going to, compare and contrast. I think that's the scientific term where you compare both things and see which one is better. We're going to compare and contrast the eternity. You know, we already read punishment versus life. You go to Revelation chapter 4. Or Revelation 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. We're gonna read some more, but that one verse right there. No sorrow, crying, no more pain, for the former things. How many of us are looking forward to that time when there's no sorrow? There's no pain. There's no crying. There is joy and gladness forever. Our tears will be wiped. I am looking forward to that day. Lost friend, if you are sitting here miserable and scared of your life eternal, you can have this same promise. Because this is not just a statement. This is a promise from God of what will be eternity will be like. That if you are saved, you'll have that eternity. Jump down to verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And all the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the King of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. In eternity, guess what we will get to see? We'll get to see God and Jesus Christ in all his glory. He won't have to, you know, cover himself, veil himself. You go read in the Old Testament. Moses wanted to see the glory of God. He said, the most you could see is my backside. And his face shined so much so that the children of Israel were terrified of it. Understand, there will be no limits on the glory of God. He will reveal everything to us. How many of you are looking forward to seeing your God and Savior in all his glory? We read about how amazing and how powerful and how beautiful God will be. You can't comprehend what it's going to be like. Understand, in eternity, we will get to see all of that. Yeah. Only if you are saved. Right. If you are dead and you go to hell, you will get to see God in his glory as your judge. And he will throw you into the lake of fire and you will burn forever, right, wishing that you took the opportunity. I talked about in the Sunday school class this morning back there, and I was thinking, you know, there will come a time when those that are in hell will get cast into the lake of fire. But before that, they get judged. I used to think, you know, there'll be at least a little bit of a reprieve. Then I understood as I got older, no, they're going to stand before their God and Savior in all his glory saying, why did you not do that? I think that moment might be one of the most, I don't know. I know God says the lake of fire is going to be pretty bad. I don't think there's going to be anything worse than standing before their Savior, rejecting him. Lost person. That is your future right here and now if you do not get saved. Turn to Revelation 20. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw the great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Jumped over to chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We're going to talk about that lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Turn to Jude 13. Raging waves of the sea foaming out of their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. You think about that, those torments, those pains. Understand, it's going to be black. darkness. Why? Because God is the only light, and God has no presence in that eternity. There is no hope or life or anything to look forward to in that. People will say, well, I'll have my friends, we'll be down there. No, all you'll hear is screaming in torments forever. You'll be alone. You won't even see if anybody's right there. You know, a few years ago, as a youth group, we went down to the Oregon Caves. When you're underneath the earth and they turn off the lights, you can't see what's in front of you. This will be, that blackness does not compare to this blackness here. There is no, we cannot physically comprehend how bad that lake of fire is going to be. Why do you think God wrote so many verses about getting out of it? Why do you think he told us so much about the salvation that he brings? Because he doesn't want you to go there. Yeah. Understand, we have to read about this to understand the difference of life and death. It is scary, the future without Jesus Christ. If you are sitting here right now, there is no hope for you. You have nothing to look forward to. If you are a saved child of God, you have everything to look forward to. Understanding that I get to see my Savior, but there will be people. I'm sure there's people that I know. There might even be people in this room right here and now that will be in the lake of fire forever. That is a sad thing to think about. You know, you might say, well, I was saved. I did all these great things. I don't know a single thing about your heart and your soul. You have that eternity. You know if you are truly saved or not. You know, I was listening to a song this morning. It tells a story of a guy who, he could quote John 3:16. He was as good as a church member as anybody else. He still needed a Savior because he was lost. You can be the greatest church member of all time and still die and go to hell if you are not truly saved. This is your eternity. It's the blackness of darkness forever. Turn to number 16. We didn't go read it, but up in Jude, it talks about others who have faced this destruction of God. You know, we're going to read one, number 16. Number 16, a man named Korah. Korah, and what did he, all he did was he rebelled against God. He denied God. Well, what happened to Korah? Number 16. And we're not going to read the whole thing, but verse 31. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained to Korah, and to their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed them upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Korah didn't have another opportunity. He made his choice. He rejected God. God opened up earth, and he went down into hell. And one day, he will get thrown into the lake of fire. You don't know how much time you have left. If you're sitting here thinking, well, I will make it till this far. I'll know when I get to that judgment, then I'll repent. Judgment's going to be too late. Understand? You know, I remember as a kid, I thought, I'll get to the rapture, and then I'll figure out if I'm saved or not, if I go or not. If I'm waiting to the rapture, understand, I probably won't survive the rapture. If you're sitting here thinking, well, I'll survive, I'm great. You go read the book of Revelation. You're not going to survive. It is, right now, is the best time to be saved because you don't know how much time you have left. When you think, oh, I'll have tomorrow, I'll have the next day, I'll wait till this person happens or this thing happens. Korah probably thought, yeah, I'll deal with this tomorrow. You know, I know I went against God, but I'll have tomorrow. No, earth claved up and he went down into hell right then and there. You go read the story of the rich man Lazarus in Luke 16. He opened his eyes in torments. I don't think he knew he was going to die that day. You don't know what day you're going to die. You don't know what day you're going to wake up and be in hell forever. But no, that when you are in hell, there is something worse coming for you. Hell is pretty bad. It does not compare to what the lake of fire is. You want to know how I know? Because hell is temporary. It gets cast into the lake of fire. It gets so much worse for you. We talk about hell like that's the worst thing ever. No, go read that lake of fire. It is a place that burns with fire and brimstone. Turn to Numbers, or Genesis 19. Fire and brimstone. Back in Jude, it talked about verses above. Talks about the destruction, the fire and brimstone. You know, we have examples. I love when God tells you something, he usually gives you a pretty good example, a vivid picture of what that looks like. Genesis 19, verse 24. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and the plains and all the inhabitants thereof and that which grew upon the ground. And his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning and the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew those cities in which Lot dwelt. This fire and brimstone, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't just destroy the people. He didn't just destroy the buildings. You see, that which grew upon the ground, He destroyed everything.
That's right.
Utter destruction, that fire and brimstone. What do you think the lake of fire is going to be? Utter destruction for all of eternity. Read this. You know, they died. They went to hell. There's no escape. People think, well, I'll escape problems in my life when I die. It makes me sad when people think that death is an escape. Death is not an escape for anything, especially if you are to the point where you have no hope in God, that you think death is better than living on this earth. That is a sad state to be in, because it only gets worse from here.
Amen.
Our brains can't comprehend. If you are sitting here and you don't have the hope of God inside of your life, it does not get better the farther you get in life. The worse, the farther you go, well, I'll die and that'll be a mistake. No, there is a future. It is hell. And after all that, you get to look forward to the lake of fire for eternity. Think about when eternity ends. It's eternal. There is no end to eternity. Think about it. How bad is it going to be? Turn to Matthew or Mark chapter 9. You know, I don't particularly like reading verses about hell and the lake of fire. I don't particularly enjoy talking about death and destruction, all those things. But understand, it is important to understand what the future holds. I don't, you know, it doesn't make me, super joy and excited. Yeah, I get to preach about hell today and the lake of fire. But God put it in there for a reason. Why? So you don't go there.
Right.
Why do you think he died on the cross? If hell and the lake of fire was not that bad, do you really think Jesus Christ would have did everything that he went through? Suffered the way he suffered. The Trinity being split for that time. Do you think he would have done that just because, it's not that bad? It's a little bit better. No. It's that bad that he would rather die than send anybody there.
Amen.
But he still is going to send people there because they choose it. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and their fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet be cast into hell, into the fire which never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If there is anything hindering you in your life from accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, get rid of it, because it is so much better to get rid of this physical problem that you have than to burn where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. God is not a liar. God does not just put things out there just to make a show of it. If something is offending you, even if it's your own body part, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Because it is better to enter into life maimed than to go to hell.
Yeah.
Do we understand that? I've gotten pretty close. I broke my leg. I still had a leg at the end of it. I can't imagine how bad it's going to be if it's better to just get rid of it, cut my leg off entirely, than to go to hell. Hell is a terrible place to go to. Lake of fire is worse. Lake of fire is eternity. If God's saying this about hell, why do you think he says so much about it to avoid it? Why do you think he preaches so much about his salvation? Why do you think from Genesis to Revelation, he's pointing to the same thing over and over again? Come to me, I am your salvation. You look at Genesis 1:1, that creation, that's a picture of salvation. It was dead. Jesus Christ brought it back to life. He wanted to give it a new life. You look at Adam and Eve when they were expelled from the garden. He killed those animals and the skins covered them. Why? To point a picture. So there is no mistake in your mind. Jesus Christ has to be your salvation.
Amen.
You can't get out of it on your own. Turn to Psalm 9. Psalm 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. You might think, well, I know who God is. If you have not accepted him as your Savior, you will be one of these individuals who are wicked and have forgotten God.
Right.
Well, I know who Jesus Christ is. I did my best. You go read in Matthew 7, I never knew you. If you are not saved, if you have not accepted him as your Savior, God does not know you, and you do not know God. You are one of these people that will forget God. What does it say? Turn into hell and the nations that forget God. You cannot come up with your own way to be saved. We're not going to read it, but Isaiah talks about people who made their agreement with hell. They had their plan how to avoid it. There is no other option except for Jesus Christ. Turn to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Blessed, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belongeth the issues from death. The only way to escape death is by God. He is the only one who can give you that life. You know, we read it already in John chapter 5, pass from death unto life. How? Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is the only option you have. Turn to John chapter 3. You can come up with your own ideas. You can come up with everything you want, and you will still die and go to hell. John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Amen. Believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercies for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. The only way to be saved and to have life is by Jesus Christ, because he died to give you that life. He spilled his blood on the cross so that you can have life. Why do you think he did it if the alternative was not that bad? Why do you think he did it if hell is just going to be okay? If you could survive hell, why do you think Jesus Christ had to sacrifice the way he did? If there was another opportunity, I'm sure God would have figured out some other way, but there was no other escape, and the alternative is so much worse than Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Think about that. The alternative is worse than God and the Trinity putting one to die on the cross, to take on the form of man, to take on sin, die the most horrific death possible, suffer more than anybody else could possibly fathom. That was a better alternative than hell in the lake of fire. But it's going to be okay, right? You'll survive. Brother Sean preached a message a while back at a youth rally. I said, it's going to be okay. Lost friend, it's not going to be okay. If you are lost right now, it's not going to be okay. The only way for it to be okay is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And not because you got baptized, not because you said, repeat after me, because you humbled yourself. You acknowledged that you were a sinner and said, God, I need you to save me. I don't care what words you say. It matters what your heart does. I don't remember a single word of what I said. I'm sure I said, Dear Heavenly Father, when I prayed on June 15, 2008, when I got saved right there. I don't remember a single word that I said beyond that. But I know I stood up from there and I was saved. Yeah. Words do not matter as long as you truly turn your heart to God. Yeah. Turn to Isaiah 59. I said it already. We are still on this earth, so God is still saving souls. We might think, oh God, it's too wicked. People can't be saved. They're too bad. No, God is still saving souls today. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. When God is done saving souls is when he takes us out and this world is ending. Until the end of the world, God has not done saving souls. So you might think, well, I've tried. Quit trying. Let God save you. You can't try to get saved. You can either get saved or you will stay lost. Quit trying and just accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Turn to Matthew 22. Isaiah also talks about, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no Savior beside me. There is no other option. You might think, well, I was told this, I was told that. I don't care what you were told. Read the Word of God. This is what God said. So if God said it, there is no other alternative. The only alternative is to look unto him and be saved. Matthew 22, verse 31. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. You want to have life? You have to go to God of the living. You have to go to the one who can give you life. Turn to Revelation 1. Revelation 1. Revelation 1, verse 18. Verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Mankind does not have this power. Nobody has this power except the one who faced death
and beat it. He conquered it to give you the victory over death. It says he has the keys of hell and of death. He has the authority over it. He is the one that can take you from hell and of death and to give you life eternal. You go read. Every single person who has ever accepted Jesus Christ has never faced a true death. They might have died physically. Guess what? Dying physically doesn't really matter all that much, because in eternity, you will live forever. You go read. He talks about, you know, the Pharisees in the Gospels. They talk about Moses. He's dead. God said, no, he's alive. He's still alive. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Guess what? All three of those people, they're still living today. You go read. John chapter 6. I believe that's the one I want. This one works too. John chapter 6, verse 48. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that many may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He is a living bread. If any man eat this bread, he will live forever. That's not a physical bread he's talking about. That's a spiritual bread. It is his body that he broke on that cross. Turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, that bread that he's talking about, he already said it, it's his flesh. Matthew 26, verse 26. And they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. That body, that bread that was broken, that blood that he gave, that cup that he gave, it was a picture of his body and his blood that he sacrificed to give you life. How do we have life? Because he faced death and he beat it. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God have ye taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. It was not possible for God to die and not come back. Do you think it's impossible for him to bring you life again? Nope. It's possible because he did it. You know, I like examples of, you want me to believe you can do it, then do it. Well, if I want to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, guess what? I can believe it because he did it. He showed us in his Bible, the Bible that says he cannot lie. God cannot lie. God is perfect. There's no lying in him whatsoever. So when it says he died and rose again, and because of that, I will live forevermore, it is a promise to me that I will live forevermore. That same promise is true about those that will die and go to hell and be cast into the lake of fire forever. Where the beast and the false prophet is, where Satan will get cast for eternity. Can't wait to go there. Can't wait to have my buddies down there, the beast and the false prophet and Satan. Worst of all, man, can't wait to go there, right? It's going to be a place of celebration and excitement forever. No, it's going to be a place of torment and destruction for eternity. That is why God told us don't go there. That's why he said, look unto me and be saved. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Your payment for sin is death. Jesus Christ gives you a gift to get out of it, gives you that life. Romans chapter 6, starting verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Death hath no more dominion over him. When I was saved, death had no more dominion over me. I don't care if I die physically. I don't want it to be painful. I don't really want to die. But if it happens, oh well, because I know I'm going to live forevermore. Do you have that assurance? Do you have that hope that you know you will live forevermore if you were to die right here and now? If you don't, you need to hit your knees and pray to God that he will give you that assurance. How is it? That hope and salvation of Jesus Christ. We go read in Hebrews chapter 6, that hope we have as an anchor of the soul. The hope that we turn back to when life gets bad. No, I can go back to and stay steady and sure that Jesus Christ saved my soul. You go read in Ephesians, turn to Ephesians chapter 1.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of his glory." If you are saved, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit as indweller. You will never lose that salvation. You can look forward and know, I will be saved forever because I will never lose my salvation. You know, we go read about the resurrection. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. The resurrection, there's going to be two. One to life and one to death. That first one, it's broken up into three parts. It's the first fruits. Jesus Christ was the first fruits. There's going to be the main harvest. That is the rapture we're going to read about right now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." Have no hope. Can't imagine living a life with no hope. The rest of these verses we're going to read, they should scare you if you have no hope. Verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Do these words give you comfort? If you say you have hope, these words should give you comfort. That there is coming a day when Jesus Christ will come back in the clouds of the air and he will take us home to be with him forever. Where I don't have to feel the pain and suffering of this flesh anymore. Where I don't have to worry about my aches and my pains. I won't have to worry about the time when Jesus Christ comes back because I will see my Savior face to face. You go read in Job, I believe it's Job 19. "I know that my Redeemer liveth and I will see him with my own eyes." There will come a time where I get to see my Redeemer. Lost friend, you will get left here alone to face a God who will pour out his wrath on this earth. An earth that has never been seen before. An earth completely without God, where God and his church is gone. And sin is free to abound as much as possible. You know, it says that he who now letteth will let, when the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, that means sin is going to have free reign. We think it's bad now. It's not going to be it doesn't hold a candle to what you're looking forward to. I won't have to worry about that because I'm going to be in heaven with my Savior forever. You that are lost, that's what you get to look forward to. That's your expected end. A terrible time that ends with death and the lake of fire for eternity. How important is it to be saved today? You know, we read in Corinthians, today is the day of salvation. Why? Because you're not guaranteed a tomorrow. Well, James says, what is life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. Today is vanished away. I don't know how much time I have left on this earth, but I know when I die, I will see my Savior. Now, I will have things I have to answer for that I'm not looking forward to, but I know, if nothing else, I will get to go to heaven and live forevermore. I know that I am alive forevermore. If you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are dead. You might think, well, I'm alive. I have all these, my heart's beating and things like that. That's not the life that it's talking about. We focus a lot on the physical life. How much does God focus on the physical life? It says, take care of that so you can worry about the spiritual. How often does he say, make sure you have your life taken care of? He says, no, let me take care of those. You focus on me and your spiritual life. Lost friend, what's more important in your life than accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior right now? What's more important? What is distracting you from salvation that God gave for you freely to give you that life eternal? If there's anything that is distracting you or keeping you from it, let it go. It's not worth your eternity. We already read it. Turn to Revelation 20. Revelation 21. Let's all stand. Pianist and song leader, come. Revelation 20, verse 14. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Those that are not written in the book of life, that is those that are not saved, that have never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. What is their future? Cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is the end of your life right here. You should go to the lake of fire and burn forever in punishment and torments, away from God and his presence. We didn't go read it, but you think about it. Those that have knew better and rejected God, it's going to be worse in that day of judgment than those that didn't have as many opportunities. You go read Chorazin and Bethsaida, it's going to be worse for them than in Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah, that's as wicked as people could be. It's not going to be as bad for Sodom and Gomorrah as Chorazin and Bethsaida. Person right here, I'm looking out in this crowd, I recognize all these faces. You've heard the word of God this morning. You've heard the word of God before in your life. How bad is that lake of fire going to be for you? How many times have you rejected God, the Savior who died on the cross for your sins, who said, I can save your soul, who says, I want to give you life eternal, and you're rejecting him constantly? How bad is your lake of fire experience going to be? What number shall we sing? 're singing this song. This is the question that Jesus Christ is going to ask you in that judgment day. Why not? Why did you reject him? Saved child of God, why haven't you told people about it? Why did you ignore it, think it's not that big of a deal? We will see those that we loved burning in the lake of fire for eternity because we thought something was more important. Let's look to the Lord in a word of dismissal prayer. And as we do, Brother Ron, please lead us in a word of prayer.